Okay. 3, 2. Hello, everybody. Welcome to a brand new episode of It's About Bravo. I'm Zach.
I'm Reed.
Let's
bitch.
Start. I'm gonna introduce you and do it.
Okay. Dumb bitch.
Three. Okay, three. This is already gonna be a key. Okay. All right. Ready? 3, 2. Hello, everybody. Welcome to a brand new episode of It's About Bravo. I'm Zach.
I'm Reed.
And coming back all the way from the fucking desert, we have Mo.
Hi. I'm back again, guys. I went on vacation. I ruined my life. A lot happened in 2 weeks, but you know what? I'm back on the microphone.
That's you all are, that matters,
Zach,
right?
Zach and Mo are sharing a mic in the same room, and I'm going to tell you right now, Mo, you need to get in front of that mic because you're sounding real faint.
Okay, I'm here.
There we go. Okay, he's here. Y'all sharing a mic is going to be funny.
I crossed over the river and through the woods to Modesta's house. I went many subways later, and 2 hours later, I am in the Bronx, and I'm with Modesta.
Zach is in the Bronx. He's in the Boogie Down. He basically was Jennifer Lopez on the 6. You're actually on the 4, but whatever. He got here, and he texted me and said, "You live so far," and I said, "Yeah, from bumfuck New Jersey, where you were at. I'm actually, like, super close to the city, but whatever." But we're in the same room, and this is going to happen more often now that we are in this tri-state area together, so get ready, bitches, because
I'll go fuck myself.
Reed, why don't
so
you
fuck
leave
your
Chicago
drag.
I'm really jealous. I have FOMO right now seeing you guys both over there,
but in 1 week I have seen Mo, and I've also seen Reed. I had a layover in Chicago, and I got to see Reed a couple days ago. So that was
okay. That was my FOMO, because you did not only just see Reed. You were with Elvis, and you were with Maddie, and I was in the darkest times of my life. You guys were kikiing, and I was like, oh, my friends.
It was a short but sweet little kiki, for sure.
I had a great time, yeah. I can't believe, I'm still, like, in shock that the three of us are here. I mean, this is amazing. The Trace Amigas, as you coined us.
Two, whooping ass, whooping ass, woo!
Literally the Trace Amigas. Who am I?
I'm Vicky.
I think that Reed is, okay. I think I'm Tamra, and Reed is Shannon.
Reed is Shannon.
Fuck off. I was about to ask, who are the Trace Amigas? Now I know. Ah!
This bitch, we're gonna get him slowly into the Real Housewives of Orange County.
It's coming, guys. It's coming.
Which, speaking of, let's kick off That's My Opinion so that we can talk all about the Real Housewives of Orange County. So without further ado, let's get into
That's My Opinion!
Okay, so let's talk about the Real Housewives of Orange County season 17. The trailer just debuted. We've got the cast picture. We've seen the new wife. We've seen Taylor Armstrong. Vicky made an iconic entrance in the trailer.
Oh!
I'm excited for you to meet my friend.
I'm excited to meet your friend.
Hey!
Hi!
For you, did shit talk my career? F you.
You're a liar!
You're recutting on things.
Wait, I thought we were friends. I guess I was wrong.
It's just a mess.
This has nothing to do with me.
She should watch herself.
You wanna watch it?
You wanna come on?
Being a housewife is a challenging.
You did look like a wheel trainer.
Demanding.
You and I pinky promised.
And thankless job.
You can hold one hand out and in the other and see which one fills up with apology verse.
So at the end of the day, always make sure to put your best face forward.
Okay, I was living, you guys. I'm not even, like, an OC fan yet. I tried to watch last year with Noella. I got, like, a few episodes in, and I just kind of lost steam. Same thing happened with Jersey last year. I'm doing a lot better this year keeping up with Jersey, so I think I can also keep up with OC.
If I didn't have this podcast, I would be watching Jersey, like, maybe 3 to 4 episodes at a time. Like, I would not be watching week to week. This week, I cleaned my room as I watched, and it just is not the vibes. But anyways, OC, last season I thought was fucking great. People can hate on it, but I watched it as a rewatch.
Can we just take a moment of silence for Noella, like the star that we lost? Like, we lost a star.
We need to have a moment of, in the eyes of an angel.
In the arms of the angel.
And you know who else we lost is fucking Nicole. Like, I, like, and, okay, that
and
was,
they're friends again.
And we bring them both back.
Pretty honestly, though, like, my friend Nicole was texting my friend Nicole, not Nicole James. Are you Nicole Weiss?
No, I quoted that the other night. I was like explaining because, like, my boyfriend was watching Botched, and I was like, do you know who I connect everything to Housewives with him? So I'm like, you know, babe, that like, Terry Dubrow on Botched is married to Heather Dubrow from Real Housewives of Orange County. And then I went in all into like the, are you Nicole Weiss? You sued me. That is like one of my favorite lines from season six.
And
that,
no, honestly though, what makes it so iconic is their cackle after. Like,
they look scary. They look horrible.
No, they look like fucking caricatures of themselves. It's insane. But my friend Nicole was like, can you imagine the cast photo with Noella on it and just Noella and Tamra in that moment? Like, let's dissect this trailer, y'all, because, okay, I think obviously the main moment was Vicky, but then the second one was Tamra throwing the napkin in the woman that she brought onto the show's face. And then obviously they added the sound effect that made it much worse than it was. But I was like, oh, not Tamra getting hooed.
Also, the other part that made me absolutely cackle in that trailer was Shannon Bedore smacking the dog shit out of who
was it? It was Heather.
And falling backward. Like she falls back from like the recoil of it,
like literally. And I was like she smacked the dog shit out of her with the tortilla. And it was like, it's obviously like one of those little those like TikTok trends or whatever, but like, I mean, she smacked her hard.
It was, no, that was a lot. Okay, and then Tamra and Shannon did an interview and was like, they did not show any of the drama, really. Like, they didn't show Heather versus Tamra. They didn't show Shannon versus Tamra, which is happening in the beginning. I think that they just gave us a little kitschy camp trailer with the, like, a housewife should be.
That was so good. I mean, especially
it was good, though,
like,
yeah.
Like, okay, here are my thoughts as someone that's not engrossed in OC yet. First of all, the whitewater rafting clip was sending me, like, I don't even know what that will entail and if it will be any funnier than it already was in the trailer, but I was just cracking up.
Things like that are like some of the things that make OC like so funny, where it's like kind of like a group activity kooky. Where it's like kooky, and also like you don't know what, like there's outside elements that can affect what's gonna
literally
happen, and you just get like those reactions. Like the thing that I'm thinking of is like the ropes course. Like, you haven't seen the ropes course from Orange County.
My finger!
But it's so
Shannon!
Fucking funny. Like, Shannon steps on something and it pinches Vicky's finger, and she's like, Shannon, my finger! Oh my gosh! And it's like so funny.
And her face is just like sobbing.
So I think that we'll get something kind of like that with that laughter.
It was so funny, and I just, yeah, I'm really looking forward to diving in. I will say, regarding the like housewife montage they did at the beginning of the trailer and even the cast photo, it's giving Desperate Housewives in the best way. Obviously, Real Housewives was inspired by Desperate Housewives. I just finished season 4 of Desperate Housewives, you guys. I just got to the time jump.
Wait, you're at the time jump?
They've done my girl Gabrielle dirty. She's really at rock bottom.
She's down astronomically bad.
She's about to come on to season 5 mad as hell. I just know it. But
oh no, yeah, hot as hell too.
Even the cast photo like looks like the Desperate Housewives cast photo. I love the colors, the blue, the orange, the yellow. Bravo has done a really good job this year specifically.
They heard us.
At cast photos. Yeah. Atlanta with the Looney Tunes, Jersey with the bisexual.
Not the bisexual.
Miami with the just pop of color everywhere. Same with Girls Trip 3.
You know what it makes me excited for, though, is like Beverly Hills always gets a new cast photo. It doesn't matter the season. They just always do. I'm excited for that. I'm also excited for the Roni cast photo.
Yeah,
like, I think that they're going to eat. I hope they do a Subway theme
like,
again.
Yeah,
oh my God.
Yeah.
Do you remember the Subway with like,
or like Times Square, maybe,
yeah,
or like Empire State Building, like something along
something
those
just
lines.
Like really back to New York. I do want to say in that cast photo, Miss Taylor Armstrong, who wasn't in the main cast photo, she is a friend of, I think we all had hopes that she wouldn't be a friend of, but like, I mean, they announced her as a friend of. They weren't going to change it. It was just our pipe dreams. But her and Jennifer, is that her name?
Mm-hmm.
New. Ate them bitches the fuck up in that blue.
Guys, there's something about Jennifer's, like, aura in that cast picture that just, like exudes great housewife energy. I can't describe it. It's just, like, when you know, kind of vibe. I really hope that she doesn't disappoint me. But, like, from the cast picture, just, like, her vibe. I can just,
I don't know about her.
Nothing.
Like, I don't know.
I know nothing.
Have there been like casting rumors that I've just missed? Like who
yeah,
is
so,
she?
Yeah, like she's been spotted filming. And
yeah,
stuff,
she. But. So she's Tamara's friend. We know that. She was like, she was cast immediately as soon as Tamara was announced to come back. I think she was it Dylan from Bravo's By Betches that said she looks like Madison LaCroix's mother.
Yeah.
And it's giving that. She's hot AF. The little like bouffant hair with like the, I think she's just hot and I'm excited to see. The only thing that made me a little bit like, was the moment where Tamara threw the napkin and the woman was too stunned to speak.
She was so
stunned. She did not have a thing to say. And it's like, I don't know how like soon that happens into the season, but like maybe it was just like, whoa, right away. But I don't know. Like, girl, let's give us something.
Overall, I'm very excited about this season. I think it's going to, like Andy has said, it's like a return to form, which it already feels like that from the cast picture, from the like the trailer, like everything. It just feels like a light energy and it looks like they're like trying to, you know, it's just great to have Vicky, Heather, Shannon, and Tamara on the exact same screen at the exact same time again.
And Taylor Armstrong.
This is like magic. Like, this is like fucking great.
I think you tweeted it when you said, we're not talking about enough that she's the first housewife to literally change cities.
I had people in my replies never imagined it would be her. Yeah, I had people in my replies being like, well, she's not full time. And I get that, but it's still more than any housewife's ever
she's
had.
On every cast trip. She's on everything. Like
Cynthia Bailey and Larsa allegedly filmed for Beverly Hills, but I think they're going to be guests. They're not going to be friend ofs. They're not going to have confessionals. They're not leaving Miami and Atlanta franchises to be a part of the Beverly Hills franchise. They just happen to be filming with them. Taylor is different. She's literally now a member of the OC squad, even if as a friend of, like her Beverly Hills, like uniform has been put up in the, like she's hung it up, you know, like she's moved on. She is in OC. I just think that is such a like big moment that we're kind of glossing over. And I think we're glossing over it in part because it's Taylor Armstrong. But
no, totally. If it was like another housewife, then it's like, honestly, to me, it's just like manifesting Dina Manzo on the OC because she lives in the same gated community as Tamara and Taylor Armstrong. So it's like just manifesting that.
But there's people who like, they really don't care about housewives anymore. Like Dina Manzo, like literally really just doesn't want anything to do with it at all. Like Taylor's always been a little bit like thirsty for camera time, which like love. I love someone who's like eager and like eager to jump into the pool, you know, but like she's traded in her diamond for an orange. I'm super excited and I can't wait to see. Now switching gears for like a second. Speaking of diamonds, we want to talk about the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. They are about halfway into filming season 13. And
the cast trip allegedly is in Spain this year. Ooh. No, that's Mexico. Not knowing my roots. I am so excited for this season. I feel like it's picking up. Erica is Ozempicking the Ozempic. Bitch,
she's doing it the best.
She's doing it the best. Like her face looks good still. It's not drooping. I will say, y'all, my mom is on Ozempic and it's sitting in my fridge right now. And if y'all don't think that I stare at it every time I open that fridge and not eat anything because it's sitting there, I do.
But so we have a new housewife. Her name is Anne Marie Wilde, I think.
And let's forget it.
So apparently she is feuding with the other women. There are two, past enemies, which I'm guessing are Sutton and Erica, that have united forces. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like the best friend, what is the saying? I'm such a Ramona with these kind of things.
Your friends close and your enemies.
Well, no,
close.
There's that one, but it's like the enemy of my enemy
is my friend.
Like, or something. Yeah. Something like that.
That's it. Yeah. The enemy of my enemy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Whatever she just said.
Yeah. You're like Jax Taylor.
I'm like, no, that is it.
But so Erica and Sutton have teamed up against her because apparently this woman is very transphobic. She like loves
her
Candace
husband
Owens.
Is transphobic. So they're very close friends with Candace Owen. And apparently the husband on a podcast was talking shit about Gabrielle Union and Dwayne Wade's daughter, Zola, who is a fucking fashion icon right now, like literal queen, was talking shit about her, was talking shit about women, trans women in sports, just basically being like super fucking MAGA, and obviously the Candace Owen of it all. And as we know, like Sutton and Erica are fucking allies. Like Erica is the gay ally, and Sutton is obviously was crying when her fucking French designer, who was a huge homosexual, couldn't get in the country, and it's all relative, you know. But anyways, seeing them team up against someone who is a problematic transphobe is going to be, oh, I'm like wet thinking about it.
My ears, but also Andy and Bravo, do they do any sort of vetting on these housewives?
No, maybe. I feel like they did, and they were like, okay, that's problematic enough, but let's get, like, it'll bring people together. Because I also, like, I know Gabrielle Union and Garcelle are really good friends. So it's like you talking about her daughter is going to cause fucking problems.
And I know, and I, like, yes, like, we, like, with vetting and everything, like, Bravo needs to, like, for example, like, Jenny from, like, Salt Lake, like, it was
That's
all
what I'm
right.
Thinking
it, it's like, all right there. Like, it's like, how did you not even, like, go to her Facebook, and it was like literally only like a couple months down. It's like, did you scroll? Like, when I'm talking to somebody, I go down to like when they first opened their account back like 15 years ago. Like, I've like, I'll go into like the depths, and I don't understand why Bravo can't bless you. But there's also certain things where it's like Bravo, like, what, how are they gonna find that out? Like, how are they gonna, like, there's certain things, like, A lot of housewives follow Candace Owens, you guys. Like, a lot of housewives follow Candace Owens. It's not just this woman. Like, it's like, newsflash, all of Miami is Republican. All of Jersey is Republican. All of OC is pretty much Republican.
Nicole fucking Martin follows Candace
Owens. Yeah, so, like, it's like, yeah, some of our faves are also disappointing us in that sense. And, like, we're not going to agree on everything, but there's certain things that's, like...
Well, you know, at that point, you have to be like, I can't see, I'm blind. Because, like, I can't...
Yeah, you have to kind of just, like, there's certain things that you have to just kind of, like, be like, okay, like, I'm not going to pay attention to that. Now, if they're, like, a raging fucking racist, then there's, like, there's a difference. But, like, if they're, like, I think that we should... I should get less on my taxes because I'm rich. You know, like, stuff like that. It's like, there's a difference between being, like, a Republican and then, like, also being, like, a horrible fucking person. You know, like, well, there's differences.
There's an argument to be made that it's actually maybe going to be a good thing to watch, like, this get sorted out verbally on air. Like, having these housewives stand up for LGBTQ rights in front of this problematic housewife.
Especially during a time that's, like, this time right now.
But I think you're going to see more, and I'm not saying I'm right, wrong, or indifferent. I'm not taking a side, but I think you're going to see more blowback from, well, we
blowback.
Because of how bad this is at this time, it's not the time to even be giving them a platform.
Yeah, I totally agree with what
so
you're saying.
I think that there's going to be, I think there's going to be more of that than there's going to be, well, I'm glad we saw a really, you know, informative conversation.
But isn't it like a, right now, giving them the platform and giving someone to fight against them, isn't that like a, isn't it, I don't know, like, at least giving light to the situation?
Also, can, I just want to say something here really quick. That's not life. Like, I'm gonna, like, I, like, work with plenty of people that I disagree with. You know what I'm saying? And it's just not life. Like, you just don't, like, go out onto the street and they fire the person that you're walking next to on the street because they disagree with you. You're gonna, like, have those disagreements. Obviously, there's a time and a place where, like, certain people need to get let go and fired because you don't want to give them that platform whatsoever. But there's certain conversations that I think that you can kind of, like, have somebody grow from and, like, learn, and it could be, like a growing experience. Yeah, like, I think those kinds of things, like, need to be shown on camera and certain things, because that's just life. You're going to be with people that you don't necessarily agree with that could have horrible, detrimental, like, takes, but you need to have those conversations and have them out.
Having,
you know,
the conversation,
I totally agree.
Is shining a light onto the issue that we're all facing right now.
I totally agree, guys. I'm not arguing with you. I'm just saying, I think that there is going to be a larger amount of people who feel like it's not productive to have this healthy convo on TV when we know that every time something transphobic is said, someone loses their life. You know what I mean? So I think that there is, like...
Oh, totally. And especially with, I think, where Beverly Hills has been recently, I think having this issue on a show that has been deemed dark and toxic is maybe not the best. But, I mean, switching gears, it's also come out, I think, that Dorit and Erica are not getting along at all this season. Have y'all seen that?
See, I heard that they, like, made up from, like, the...
I heard that, too. But then I read a thing, like, an interview or something that said that they... It, like, wasn't authentic. Like, they still haven't, like, And that hurts me because I love those two fucking con artists more than anybody on that cast. Like, those are mothers to me, and they will always be my mothers.
Dorit is in her brunette era, and Erica, I wanted to say this earlier. I'm so excited. Erica's in her Ozempification era, where she, I saw someone on Twitter say that her voice is getting higher. Her voice is getting higher and her body's getting skinny. It's like really problematic, but it's so funny because Erica is kind of coming back to like the Huntress that I used to be obsessed with.
She is. She's re-entering that. She's got the Vegas residency, which we will be in attendance for.
Yeah, we have to.
Didn't she fuck a man for that too? Like, that is.
Girl, I don't listen. What are they? You can't teach an old dog new tricks. If she fucked someone to get something in life, she's gonna fuck everybody to get where she's at in life. And you know what?
That's just what she knows. That's what she's good at.
I'm not dragging her. I just said I loved it. It was peak Erica.
No, I love it too. It's like literally, she will always be seeking arrangements. Like that vibe, and I'm obessed with that.
It's like candy. She ain't ever missed a beat or a bag.
She looks fucking. She looks fucking amazing.
She looks like she fucking looks phenomenal. Did y'all see that like TikTok with her with the Nicki Minaj song? It was her with like a bunch of Vegas like showgirls, and they were coming out the limo. Yeah. It's oh my god, she looks so good.
All right, so switching from Beverly Hills to where we currently are right now, which is New York, the Real Housewives of New York are teasing that the announcement is going to be coming very soon. I'm going to gauge like probably in like a month, you know, maybe around when like the Jersey reunion is starting to air or like it's like coming to a close, we'll maybe get an announcement. I know that they did like a kind of like glittery, glitzy, glam shoot for the promo and everything like that. Yeah, and you know what? As I'm in like my rewatch of like Roni and like From the Start and everything, I'm slowly like coming around to the idea. I've said this on the mic before. I'm like slowly being like, you know what? It might be fun to see a fresh batch of New York women. But they need to bring it.
It needs to be brought in. Like I'm not going to fucking deal with a Dubai season one where I have to sit through a painful fucking 12 episodes of this. I need 19 episodes, a three-part reunion. I need all of that Lizzie drama. I need every single one of you bitches knowing that you are carrying a legacy on your motherfucking backs, and I need you to bring it. And that's all I got to say on that. But I will say, like, from their, like, the little videos and TikToks that they're posting together, it seems like Sai and Aaron are super close, and I haven't seen, like, Bryn really with any of them, and Jenna's kind of, like, I feel like giving mother to them from what I've been seeing and like interviews with them. So it's like there is going, and that other one, I don't even know her name.
Vessel.
Yeah. Where is she? Like the lights were on, not a damn soul was home. Anyways, I just feel like I'm ready for it to happen. But I was thinking like we have right now Beverly Hills filming, Potomac filming, Dubai filming, Roni's in post-production, Salt Lake is filming. Like it's been reported that Monica Newby on Salt Lake is fighting with every fucking buddy. And Lisa and Meredith refollowed each other on Instagram.
Oh, that is breaking news, everyone. That's breaking news. That could happen. Yes. Well, I guess it's not super breaking news, but it happened last night. And you know what? Those are my mothers. Because I was just rewatching the first episode of Salt Lake. Just, you know, as a Bravo fans, we'll just throw. I love Peacock.
I'll throw anything.
You know what I was thinking? I was like, Peacock is such a well-made streaming platform. Like, it's so cohesive and, like, easy and, like,
Peacock,
nice.
Though, is rewinding and fast forwarding. It goes so goddamn fast.
It does go really fast.
It's so fast.
It goes really fucking fast. But no, it's like, it's good. But I was rewatching and I was like, God, I miss when Meredith and Lisa were friends.
Me too. But it's also like they needed to go through this. They needed to fight. And I was rewatching when I was in Palm Springs to go to bed every night. I was trying to show Colson my like Salt Lake because they're from Salt Lake. And we were like watching it and they were like, this is like, I don't, what the fuck is going on? These women are monsters. And I was like, yeah, but they love each other.
That's what I love about them. They're my monsters.
They're literally my, they're our monsters.
But just like recapping, just like going back and ending the Roni segment. I'm just yearning for Roni to come back, period. Point blank. Bring it back to me however you want to bring
probably,
it.
Yeah.
Huh?
End of summer, probably.
Yeah. Well, or I'm hearing like July. Like
yeah,
midsummer.
I think more like
July. Wow, that's soon. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that so weird how they
dragged their feet on OC for so long that I thought they would probably do the same thing with Roni. It just feels like there's a lot coming at once. We get Atlanta, then we get OC very shortly after Atlanta. And I figured they would take a little breather before they hit us with more. But
Reed,
maybe
I don't know If you've been on the podcast, when there is literally something every day of the week, but that is a chaotic time. Like, yeah, when, like, there's like,
be able to do one episode a week.
Like there's sometimes where like right now we just have to cover VPR and Jersey and it's like, wow, like super easy cake. But there was like a time where it was like me and Mo were recording like the Atlanta segment,
episodes a week.
The Atlanta segment, VPR, Southern Charm. Yeah, we went to another Housewives. Yeah, it was
Zach.
It was,
when you were gone, there was a point. It wasn't long. It was like maybe a couple weeks, but there was a couple weeks where we were doing four, and it was feeling like we were not able to do it all. And
my God, yeah, we were doing Miami, and VPR,
and you get Jersey, so fatigued.
VPR and Potomac. It was Potomac reunion.
It felt like we were giving nothing to the last one. Yeah, it was like, it was, oh my God, by the end of it, we were burnt out. We were giving 10 minutes to like whatever our last
Miami was getting nothing.
Miami was getting dust. And then at one point, we were like, we have to start with Miami this week because it's like, it's getting
dust. We never gave them justice.
No, and they deserve justice. They're also filming too. And it's been alleged that Joanna Krumpa has landed that allegedly stank pussy in Miami.
I need her sister back.
That's debunked. She went on like an interview and said that she has no desire to come back and that they did approach her and she declined it.
Okay, well, that's why her pussy stinks. Anyways.
Bullshit. She teased everybody with the palm tree photo and everything.
Fucking whore. Anyways. Much like whore, should we get into Vanderpump Rules?
Yeah, why don't we get into our Vanderpump Rules segment?
Has anything physical ever happened between you and Raquel?
No. Nothing has happened between Raquel and I. Like, nothing. Like, that wouldn't happen between, you know, like, me and Katie.
All right, guys, let's get into this crazy fucking Vanderpump Rules episode. I think that this might be one of the best episodes of the season. I think that we are watching... Like, just like when we watched Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, like, season 11, and how it was just, like, you know, like, glued to the fucking TV, like, that kind of television. That's how I'm feeling about this season of VPR. It is just so insane. Like, every single second, every frame, I'm like, holy fuck! Holy fuck! Holy fuck!
It would have been, like, a good season anyway, but it's truly, like, 10 times better because of Scandoval.
No, it's like, and this episode honestly didn't even, like, the Scandoval moments were good in there, but, like, it felt like, Zach, we've been part of the same really messy group of friends before, and it felt like when we're out with that group of friends at West Park Station in Ohio, if you're from Ohio, you get it, the girls who get it, and someone gets drunk and drops a bomb in a nuke, it used to be me a lot, and then the girls would just start, like, scattering and fucking fighting, and everyone would be fighting in their own little corners. When that beach trip went into the bar, I was like, oh. This is chaos fucking magic. When Lala Kent was screaming at Tom and Tom was screaming at her, I was like, oh, we got a show on our hands, mama.
Like, that's so funny you say that, because our friend group really is like the Ohio one is really like the Vanderpump
Elvis
one.
Used to be a part of it too. It was really bad. Like, we used to we were also just like younger, and we, like, the girls used to fucking fight physically and verbally.
And mentally.
And mentally. Mental warfare was going on there. No, but this episode just reminded me of, like, this is, like, quintessential Vanderpump Rules. Like, there was just so much shade and one-liners going, and they were, like, in this little crowded fucking beach bar where people were looking at them, and there was, like, every corner. When Lala was like, what the fuck is in the air today? Because, like, when Allie started clearing James, I was like, guys. I stan her.
Allie is a fucking... I'm standing.
She's the whistleblower. She is the whistleblower.
She is the dark horse of this fucking season. And, like, who saw that coming? Because I surely did not.
No, I thought Charlie was like a basic little... Yeah. Charlie was sending me at the beach.
Charlie was at the beach, in the middle of the awkward conversation. She's like, well, I'm going to head out.
I have to work. But, like, what sent me was when she was like, you can't just, like, throw drinks in people's faces. It's not nice.
I'm like, what is nice on this show, Charlie? Like, that's what, like, it's so funny when people, like, say things, like, on the show where they're like, oh my gosh, that was really mean. And I'm like, we have seen everything and beyond on this fucking show. Like, I showed, someone the clip from, like, when Sandoval, like, like hit Jax, and Jax has like the bloodstream going down his like nose, and he literally looks like a psychopath. I'm like, this is like,
and Sheena's like, my teeth.
It's fucking insane. Wait, Mo, you weren't on the podcast last week. I want to know your honest opinion about the Timothée Chalamet dupe.
Girl, the fact that you just called that fucking man a Timothée Chalamet dupe, he looks like Weird Al Yankovic. Like, he is so fucking ugly and just, what the, Katie, you're embarrassing. If you haven't embarrassed yourself on this show for years and years by the way that you dress, the way that you look, and the way that you act, you embarrass yourself by bringing that fucking man and trying to make anybody jealous with that. I would laugh in your face. Laugh.
Okay, but in all fairness, because I was thinking, I was like watching and I was like, this man is so ugly. But then I was like, you know what? To one person, it might be ugly. To another person, that might be their yum. And I was like looking, I was like, Katie is really in her like Parisian era. Like, she's got a beret on every fucking second. You know, she's very like, Katie goes to Paris, you know, Katie in Paris, very vibes. And like, Satchel kind of gives me like Renaissance painting vibe. Like, he's beauty, like, beautiful, oh, like that kind of vibe.
My God, you need... Okay, no.
No, it's like true. He looks like kind of like, I'm not into that. I'm not into that at all. Like, I like a little rough and tumble. I like a little thickum. But like, not like, but he's got like the hair flow. And then like, look at his face. His face looks like it could be next to the Mona Lisa in the Louvre.
Not hanging in the Louvre, bitch. Okay. Trash.
Zach, I love you. You're so positive all the time. Like, me and Mo are like always so negative. And Zach's like, but guys, I can see both sides. Like, that's Zach to a T. Like, but I can see the other side. Like, no, Satchel's ugly. He's disgusting.
Okay, have y'all seen, like, you know how Daniel Radcliffe is doing a Weird Al movie?
He already did it, girl.
Okay, well, look, I'm about to show you. Y'all talk while I find this photo.
Show it to me.
Okay, it's very Satchel.
Oh my God, that's Satchel. I wish people could see this. This is Satchel. Also, I was watching with my girlies last night, and my friend Ben goes, what's his name? Staircase? Like, he truly, like, I was like, no. It's like,
what's his name? Tote bag? Oh, tote bag over there. Like, I honestly, Handle? Crossbody is really just not the one that you want to bring around to, like, fucking make Tom jealous. This was the episode where Tom Schwartz got his, though, because that fucking comment, he knew what he was doing with the Rachella comment. He knew exactly what he was doing. That was a dig.
No, that's the thing that annoys me right now about fucking Tom Schwartz, and that, like, no one, a lot of people are seeing it, but there's a lot of people that still are not seeing it, and they're, like, still fooled by, like, exactly what Lala said, that little basset hound kind of, like,
when she was like, you have my little fingers in my face.
Yeah, like, it's like, true. It's like, no, like, he is much more contrived and, like, knows what he fucking is doing than, like, what he leads on. Like, he tries to be like, wow, I'm just gonna eat this chicken wing. Why is everyone so mad at me? Because you're a fucking dick.
And like, when he tried to take it, I was like, okay, when he was like, Lala, you're a great mom. You're Lala, come back. You're actually a great mom.
Sometimes I feel like,
why does he always do this?
Yeah, because sometimes I feel like he wants to, like, do something for the show and, like, have a moment, and then all of a sudden he's like, actually, no, I was kidding. I was actually kidding.
He's a pussy. You gotta stand 10 toes down, Schwartz. Come on.
Wait, did you see on Watch It Happens Live when James was like, I actually did, like, the gentleman thing because I, like, dripped half the drink out on the sand before that I was in his face, so it was, like, the whole beer. It was just, like, half the beer.
We have to talk about James on Watch What Happens Live. That was truly one of the funniest episodes of Watch What Happens Live I've ever seen. James Kennedy is one of the funniest people I've ever seen on Bravo. He clearly did a big old line.
Yeah, he did a rail, and he said, I'm going to change history.
And who was that girl, Tinks? I didn't need her on there. She was
She's like a TikTok star. She's really annoying.
She was putting a damper on it. Every time she talked, me and my friends were like, boo, tomato, get back to James.
They should have had fucking Hello Teffy on there with him, because that's the real TikTok star. James.
Is what it should have been.
I love Hello Teffy. That would be a dream guest to get on the pod.
Yeah. Oh my God. She's friends with Verdilli.
Yeah, I know.
She's friends with a friend of ours.
I want James on the pod. How about that? Can we shoot for the stars here?
I want James, like, in my bed.
Girl, I want him.
He's looking good. Gonna...
But I, like, want him face down, ass up.
I want him in my pod. Okay, so.
We can take turns, honestly.
Y'all have fun with it.
He has really gotten hot. Like, he used to not be hot to me, and he's like, his face is filled out. He's got a little meat on his bones.
Yeah, his face is filled out with filler.
100%, like, you know, I'm surprised that Mosta likes him, even though he's not a skeleton anymore. But, like, or a bag of bones. But, like, me and Reed, like, we see each other. Like, he's looking much better.
His eyes are the prettiest blue I've ever seen. Like, in those confessionals with, like, the blue shirt, I was just like, I get why he gives girls Stockholm syndrome. Like, and, I would
and
also.
And boys, because let's not forget, what was that man's name? Fuck, what was his name?
Luke.
It was something with an L. I don't know. But anyways, him. So I want to say, like, what the main thing about this episode that, like, made me tingle, other than James's, like, physique and body and face, was James and Lala's relationship, from them sitting down at that bar, like, having a fucking meal, to when James was like, I need you to stand up for me. And, like, Lala came over and said, but, and he's like, no buts. And then she, like, fully was like, I got you. Went the fuck in on him and was like, no, you deserve a punch in the face. Like, you made out with his fucking ex-fiance. You're supposed to be his friend. You make a dig at him when he's having, like, the greatest thing that's happened to him in years, where he's fucking opening for Cascade, which is actually huge.
That's really big.
That's really big. And it was Logan, by the way.
Logan. Okay. Thank you very much. We have our Diane Sawyer here on the podcast live.
I will say, though, it's, yeah, once again, fuck Lala. This girl, there was a scene last night where she and James were talking, and he was talking about, like, his penis size or something, or I don't, and she basically was like, well, I was a return customer, so. And they both kind of, like, laughed it off. And I looked at my friends and I was like, she's one of those bitches who gets a sick, like, pleasure out of knowing that James would cheat on Allie or Raquel or whomever if she just took her top off. Like, she could get James.
I love that kind of energy. I do too. Temptress energy. I wasn't on the pod last episode, but
it's
like,
it's just the hypocrisy that pisses me off, because she's over here.
But she kind of owns it.
Not all the time. She doesn't.
You're right. I'm just trying to stand up for her.
No, and I understand where you're coming from, and I was arguing with this with Maddie the other night when I was in Chicago, but I was like, she's right about the situation, but she's not the person that needs to deliver the fucking message. Like, she's, you know what I'm saying? Like, she does not need to be the loudest in the fucking room.
No, like, the call is coming from within the house with her.
Yeah, exactly.
Seeing her just, like, just even making the comment about, like, well, I was a return customer, so obviously, like, your game is great, Jane. Like, and the way he blushed and laughed, like, I'm sure Allie watched that back and was like, what the fuck, Lala? You know, she likes to be like,
that she eats up at the reunion, because she's been cutting up. You know, like, she will. When she was like, James, no one cares. Like, literally nobody cares. Like, no one feels sorry for you. Sit down and shut the fuck up. I was like, ooh, eat.
Was Allie at the reunion?
Allie and Brock were at the reunion, yes.
That's right. I did.
There was photos of Allie and Brock at the reunion. I mean, more to the, like, Lala and Tom Schwartz fight, that was just, like, they were going low blow. When she was like, tell me when you open a restaurant. Like, call me when I can order something. I was like, oh!
No, but I loved when James was, like, talking about the restaurant. So fucking in a fucking plaza, and it looks like a fucking, and it so is gotta, true. It's like in the most like
restaurant in Silver Lake.
It's like in the most like dingiest fucking like plaza like in LA.
No, it's literally so fucking bad. It's in a, it's next to like a laundromat and a like really
what
cheap
do you call
nail
it,
salon.
Village?
Yeah, like I was gagged.
Is that the episode title? Really Village.
Also, let's get into the Tom Sandoval and Katie fight, because that was kind of iconic too. They were going at it,
and Tom Sandoval is like, it's actually like sickening to watch, you guys. Like, this is sick, the way that he is setting up Ariana's like downfall is like, it's sick to watch. Like, I was watching Trump when he was like talking to Schwartz and just basically like setting up like the, yeah, she's actually like not like paying attention to me and she's not on my side ever. And then it was so rich from fucking Schwartz to be like, it's not, if you're having a relationship and someone doesn't take up for you, it's like, I'm like, hello, read the fucking room, Tom Schwartz. Like, my God, like, that's the reason you got a fucking divorce. I was like, this man is not saying this out loud, is he? And the thing is that like Schwartz like knows at least about the makeout in this moment, right?
Schwartz fully knows about everything at this point, and it's so clear that they are using each other as storylines, where he's like, listen, I'm gonna like slowly start to tell the camera about Ariana and this and that. Her fucking grandmother is dead and she's at the funeral while you are over here trying to paint her, plotting and fucking Raquel, because we find out next episode from Ken, of all people, which I've heard rumors online of like, oh, that's a made up storyline. It does feel like a pickup shot that happened after the season, which is fine because they need to tell us when it started happening, and they need, like, we know now.
It's so sick. And you know, honestly, I know that Jax was like such a horrible monster, but Jax was like a monster to your face through and through. You never were questioning if he was a monster. You just like knew. Like the thing that was so dangerous about Tom Sandoval is like he made you think that he was the good guy, you know, and he is actually like probably worse than fucking Jax.
No, yeah, he's definitely worse than Jax because Jax like owned up to all of his shit when he did it. And it was like, we knew that he was bad the whole time, but Sandoval, like you just said, is playing this nice guy act. And it's like, you're not nice. You're a disgusting piece of fucking trash. And it's Rich coming from you, Raquel, being like, actually, Katie, I'm not a whore. I made out with somebody who was single.
And I hate, I can't hear Tom Sandoval going one more time, going like, two single people. I would be fine if Ariana wanted to make out with short.
That was cringe.
Do not.
That
do
whole
not.
Episode, you guys. Every week I'm like, guys, this episode was like so damning for Sandoval. Like it's so, the writing's on the wall. But this episode was the most of all of them, the most damning episode. Like truly, and I'm sure the editors went back and were like, okay, what is some footage that maybe we didn't include originally that now that we know, maybe we should, I think that probably did happen. Like there probably are like, they're probably like, oh, this conversation that we just cut out because we didn't think it mattered actually does matter. Let's put it back in. Like I'm sure some of that went on. But it just is so creepy. Like this is why my friend was like, I don't think any of us believe it's that it's fake. But my friend last night was like, huh, could this, is there a chance that all of this is made up to save Vanderpump? Because it's almost too, it's eerie how it's too good to be true. Some of this stuff, like, it's so on the nose. You know what I mean?
Maddie made up that great point where she said, if this was contrived, it would have started at episode 2, 3, or 4. But the fact that we're getting it at episode, like, 15, 16 at the end of the season, it's like, they would have wanted to catch us in the beginning of the season. But
I don't believe it's fake, by the way.
And also, there was too much, there was enough. When you think about a new season of a show or something like that, and you think like, okay, Beverly Hills is coming. We've got like, you know, Sutton and Erica versus the new newbie. We've got rumors about Kyle's relationship, her marriage and everything like that. So like when you think of like seasons like that, like this season already had the Oliver Raquel. It had the Schwartz Raquel. It had the sandwich shop. It had like the Schwartz and Sam.
Not the bitch. Not the sandwich shop.
No, but there's enough. There's an.
You are adding that as a storyline.
I'm adding it like a fucking pepper on a sandwich. Okay, it's not the whole goddamn meal.
BFFR.
Shut the fuck up. Okay, I'm saying it's still a part of. It still makes it the whole. Like you know, when you're looking at a season, like when you're looking at a season, it's still like there's everyone's got their own little storyline. They did not need to add in Tom Sandoval and Ariana going through an infidelity when there's already a million other things going on. You know what I'm
sorry,
saying?
I don't think that Raquel's going to sign up for being like, okay, you were the whore with Schwartz. Maybe that would have been signed, like, plotted and fake, but like, oh, now we're going to throw Sandoval at the end of the season, and she's going to be like, yeah, I'm just going to take
like,
this all on.
People hate this bitch. People hate, like, she's in, like, a... apparently, she is in a mental, like, fucking... institution.
No,
right now.
They not. It was not a mental institution.
No,
they went to a wellness retreat in Arizona.
Did. You have not been on this. I've noticed you have not been on the social in days. So, like, listen to me.
Maybe I need to.
I'm over here just like watching y'all fight.
Can I have an address of where the fuck Raquel's at? Because maybe I need to go.
Recently, Tom Sandoval won't stop fucking talking to TMZ. And he said that she's literally in some. Because they were at Miraval. But then now they're not at Miraval. And now Raquel is somewhere.
Where is it?
I don't know, bitch.
Find the address so I can go, bitch.
I definitely just want to clarify that I don't think it's fake. I just think that it's. you guys went way too hard on that when I said that. Like, circling back to my point was
the fact that you had to go back to that.
Like my goddamn point from the very get go was just that it's like. Don't you see what I'm saying? It's like, it's just too good to be true.
It's too much of, I get what you're saying, where it feels like, it's like, there's no way this could have just possibly like landed in Bravo's lap. Like it almost feels like it had to be made.
That's what happens with Vanderpump Rules every season. Like, do you think in season 2 that it just landed on their lap that fucking Stassi had to slap the absolute dog shit out of Kristen? Like all of that shit just like, because she fucked Jax while watching Drive one night and like all of this stuff.
I know. And that's what like makes this show like chef's kiss. And this is like where like we are returning to form with Vanderpump Rules. Like it's just like so great. It's like these people just need to get fucking messy again and they needed to add some other dynamics that are just as messy. But like it's great. And I'm absolutely enjoying it. Like fuck Sandoval, fuck Raquel. But also, thank you guys so much for saving this show. Like, wonderful. Like, this was absolute chef's kiss amazing.
Honestly, though, like, fuck Sandoval, but, like, Raquel, like, I cannot wait to see next season, like, what she brings and, like, the energy that she brings, because she's so fucking dumb that I don't think, like, any of this is going to hit her. I do want to say that
I'm back.
Oh, fuck yeah, she's coming back. They're throwing money at her. They have to be. She's going to start making what the Katie's and the Lala's are making now. Like, well, she Lala was the star of this
Katie
season.
Should make less.
Well, Katie makes the most out of anybody on the cast.
That is so...
Katie and Sandoval, because they've been around the long time. They're probably making, like, thing, 30K but... an episode.
Okay, hold on, though. So, actually, don't hold on. Brain fart. Don't remember. Move on.
Love it. Perfect. Anyways.
Yes, I remembered. Okay, go. It came back. Sorry. Okay. They were, like, cutting... Guys, when they were, like, showing us the flashbacks to 2013, Sandoval was such a baby, you guys. Like, looking at how he looked in 2013, I forget. Like
and now
I see why
like
Maddie thought
Mr.
he
Harvey
was hot.
From the Lovely Bones.
Like, he was actually
very
hot.
Very niche reference point. There.
The people yeah, who
I
get it
I didn't
get
catch
it.
That at all. I
Stanley
I just, like...
I know.
They've come so far, is, like, what I'm saying. Like, it's just, like, they've gone from... being like these tiny little babies, and they're like grown ass people now. And I think that is kind of what
they're
people
more
have
than grown. They're adults. They're like in their
no, home. They're like full adults. And that's the thing. I think people have been criticizing this show for a little while because, you know, the last few seasons have not been that good. And I think, you know, fairly the criticism has been, you guys are not even like kids working at Sir and Pump anymore. Like, move. We need the show needs to be over. And that was just a reminder to me with those flashbacks. I'm like, wow, like this show has come.
This has
so
been
far.
A long fucking time. Honestly, what revived the show for me was all of them sitting at that beach restaurant, and you had the entire table, like the entire group sitting at that table. Hang that in the loop, that whole cast. I was like, oh, this is magic. This is chaos magic. When Katie was like, I didn't invite everybody to the beach club. And it's like, yeah, because you don't know how to make a show. But everybody showed up and they made a show.
If I could have all of those people, all of them, including Christina Kelly, Charlie, Allie, plus if I could get Kristen
Doty, who is going to be on Watch What Happens Jax, Live this week,
Brittany.
Y'all.
If I can get all them back. Billie Lee, throw that bitch in.
No. Absolutely fucking not. No. I want her nowhere near.
No, that's when I'm going to get my Anne Marie from Beverly Hills. Yes. Do not get her back.
Bitch.
I will say is, do you guys think there's a world where we do see Jax and Brittany back on next season?
Yeah, probably next season. Like, they're like, I mean, for God's sakes, every time I finish an episode of Vanderpump Rules, they pop up on my screen.
Have you been watching it? Have you either
no,
been watching it?
No, but I was actually watching it with Maddie the other night when we were in Chicago. She was watching a little bit of it. And like, I just want to see Jax like go absolutely feral. Like, and then Doty, like, I just want to see these players come back.
I want to see Jax versus Brock. maybe with little to no clothes on.
Yeah, you want to see them fuck, you pervert. Anyways, I think out of all of them, I think Stassi is the one that we won't get back, not because of like anything that she's done, but the fact that she's so far removed from it. 111. And it's just like there's so much going on.
Yeah, wait, can we take a moment to talk about how like hot Brock is with his haircut? Like, he is so fucking
so
hot. Like, so fucking hot. It's like insane. And I'm liking Brock this season because he is in such a limited role. Like, I think it's perfect for him. Like, it's like the moments he's there, I'm like, oh, he's a good father. Also, that baby looks exactly like him. Summer fucking Moon looks like his goddamn twin.
Summer Moon is an iconic name.
It's cute. The little
Moon and Ocean.
The little birthday party that they just had for her was really cute, and Gretchen Rossi was there with like her kid, and so very interesting the Bravo worlds like colliding. But overall, I thought this episode was fucking insane. It was like amazing television to watch. Next week looks even crazier because they're like James is starting to figure out, like Lala starting to be like, do you think that something's
okay,
going
on? This is where me and my friends were arguing last night. Those scenes looked like they were the new footage after finding out about Scandal.
Yeah, it was a pickup shot. It was 100% a pickup shot where they film something after the season is wrapped. They do it all the time where they film entrances, like them entering the same restaurant in the same outfit, like because the shot didn't work the last time or they lost something with the footage. That was a pickup shot for sure. Both of the scenes with Ken and Lisa and Katie was a pickup shot, and with James and Lala. Because like I said, they might not have had the proof at that time,
but
they have
it
now.
Do you think... I don't know, because have you seen the clip with Lisa FaceTiming Sandoval?
No, I haven't seen the clip.
There's a clip cover, spoiler alert, there's a clip. Cover your ears. Maddie. Maddie's like, I want no clips. There's a clip of LVP FaceTiming Sandoval after she finds out that like Raquel spent the night at his house without Ariana there. And she's like, did you have her spend the night? And he's like, listen. So it's like, she's like, no, it's a yes or no question. Lisa asks him and he's like, yes. And she's like, and then he goes, but dude, like, she's like, I'm not dude. Don't let, you know, and you can tell that Lisa's getting testy. I don't think that would be a pickup shot where they're like, let's redo this scene of Lisa calling me out about this affair. Like, I don't think that's like a pickup
what
shot.
What felt like a pickup shot was the Ken walking into the kitchen and being
all
like,
of it looked like a pickup shot to me, because I thought it was, I didn't realize next week is when, I think next week is when Scandoval breaks on the show. And I don't think that we're realizing that, because those clips, I was like, these conversations, I was like, no, these conversations are way too specific to be before.
I don't know if it's necessarily them. I don't know if that's when Scandoval breaks. I think that will be the following week. I think this is when Scandoval, like the matches is starting to get lit. Like, I don't think it's like when the news breaks. I don't think we're going to get the Ariana finding out. I don't think we're going to get anything like that.
I think the Ariana finding out is like, we're at least 2 weeks out from that, maybe three.
Yeah.
And that that scene of that's probably 4 weeks with that.
Well,
scene
reunion is like the reunion's like May 17th or something.
So maybe in 3 weeks we'll get her.
Yeah, guys, we're already at episode 12. We're probably. Yeah, we're probably ending at like episode 14.
No, we've got like 2 to 3 more episodes left of the season.
Oh my god. I don't like finale, that.
I think the finale is going to be in 2 weeks on Wednesday the 10th, and then you said the reunion starts the 17th?
I actually think the finale is on the 17th and the reunion starts the 24th.
Okay. Well, that would make sense. This was episode 12, so that would mean that it's a 15.
Yes, because it's a three-part reunion, and then they said there's going to be a secrets like revealed episode on June 14th, which is my birthday.
Oh my god, happy birthday to you. Guys, also, any Bravo fans in New York City who are going to, I think Dylan by Betches and another podcaster are hosting like either the reunion or a final.
No, the finale is the 17th, because that's when
that's when. Okay, so they're hosting the final live at the Green Room in New York City. I have tickets. Annie, friend of the show, you love her, has tickets. We have an extra ticket, but we're going to try to figure out someone to go with us. But DM us, and if you're going, DM us and let us know so we can meet each other there.
Say hi. Well, I unfortunately will not be there. I'll be at a bachelor party in Vegas. But anyways, I wish I could.
And you'll be in Chicago's, Reed.
Yeah, I don't know. I won't be there.
his response, yeah, I don't know.
So anyways, but good episode.
Great fucking episode.
Great episode.
That is our Vanderpump recap. Now let's get into the Real Housewives of New Jersey.
You changed everything I said to you to make me out to be the bad guy, and I'm not going to allow you to do that.
All right, guys, let's talk about the Real Housewives of New Jersey. So we're wrapping up the cast trip in Ireland. Not a whole lot going on this episode. I will say we've had some conversation in our Bravo group chat about the Real Housewives of New Jersey and what kind of like the issue is. Maddie's absolutely loving it, like foaming at the mouth for it. We know that. But like there is definitely an underlying issue with Jersey where it's like, we are kind of like just like in a rinse, wash and repeat model. And Jersey, it's worked for so long, but it's just not working anymore. And we were like, all right, we need it. Like last season, it felt very that was our complaints on the podcast as well.
Has it worked for so long though?
Yeah, it's clearly still on TV. So.
Yeah, but we barely want to watch.
No, but it's ending. It's like it's worked for so long, but it's not working anymore.
I don't think it's worked for a few seasons.
No, it's worked. Well, shut the fuck up. Anyways, so what it's done is like last season, everyone was kind of over it, you know, and they thought like it was Melissa and Teresa weren't fighting like they were last season. Okay. They went back to like what they thought worked in the beginning, which was the Gorga Judice feud and brought in new women. Clearly it didn't work. the new women are fantastic. Like, I want to see them take the torch of Jersey. Like, I want Jen Fessler holding a full-time position. I want more Rachel Fuda. Honestly, and I'm sorry to say this, Reed, Danielle is dropping to the bottom of my newbie list.
No, honestly, I'm going to defend her here. I think
Wait, let me...
I think she ate.
Wait. I think she's like, I feel like she keeps bringing up the same like shit.
Well, argument. She got nothing else to bring up because the whole fucking season is suffocated by those two dingbats and their fucking fight over a goddamn wedding that hasn't happened yet. So like, obviously she has nothing to bring up. She has one storyline, but I do like how she went after Marge this episode. She went after Rachel. I will say Rachel looked fucking stunning.
Rachel's gorgeous. I love her.
I think she's great. I think Danielle's great. I think they just need room to breathe.
How can Danielle be at the bottom of your list and Rachel not be? They both have one thing going on, and it's the fight with each other.
To me, I think that Rachel has handled conflict much better than Danielle has. And that's just my opinion. I just think that Rachel has like kind of like taken conflict like head on. She's got like a really, really, really good personal story, which is like the like adoption thing. Like she's got her own thing.
In like 5 or 6 episodes.
We literally heard about that last episode, and it's in the preview for the next episode. So
I didn't.
Anyways. Okay. But like Danielle, I like her. It's not that I don't like Danielle. I think that she's great. I think she's very Jersey. I think that she reminds me of that old Jersey with her kids. I think the relationships with her kids are super cute. Let's see more of the family, I guess, like what's going on with the brother. But I think in my ranking, bottom of the pyramid, if we're doing Abby Lee Miller style, bottom of the pyramid, Danielle, you need to handle conflict better. Jackie's not on the pyramid. She's not new. I'm talking about the newbies. Bottom of the totem pole is Danielle. Needs to handle conflict better. Kudos for the Jersey accent, the Jersey-licious of it all. Kudos to that. Second on the pyramid, Rachel. Handles conflict way better. Stunning. A little bit more of a bite to her. I'm enjoying Rachel. Top of the fucking pyramid, motherfucking queen, is Miss Jen fucking Fessler, normal housewife. Cunty, kooky, everything. I just love her. And also, her fucking facelift is insane. She looks fucking phenomenal. She looks gorgeous. And now she's like eating the girls up. And I just like,
wait,
I just want to see.
She get the facelift.
She got it after the season. So like on Watch What Happens Live, she looks like sickening. Like even Andy was like, you look amazing. Like your facelift. And she's like one of those housewives that's not like Melissa Gorga, where it's like, no, I've never gotten a nose job. Like it's like, she's like, that's not the picture, Mo. Mo's pulling up her Instagram. She looks great. Okay. Thank you. Jen Fessler, queen, icon, legend.
Can I just give one tiny little counterpoint?
Absolutely, Reed. This is your
okay,
podcast.
Okay, so I would reverse on that pyramid. I would reverse Rachel and Danielle. I know you're not shocked. So just like you're saying you think Rachel handles conflict better, I would say Rachel handles conflict more boringly. And so what I mean by that is I think Rachel's the more mature one and she's very much like, that's not what I meant. Can we just move on? Like she's trying to like, she's handling it like an adult would. And that's not really what I want to see on Housewives. I like how Danielle is like scorching the earth. That's all I'll say.
See, I don't think that Danielle scorches the earth. I think she runs away and she cries in the closet. Like
I don't like that she's running away. I haven't seen her scorching the earth.
This episode, I do think she's the one
the one raising her voice and fighting. Rachel's the one trying to like retreat, and I don't like that.
I don't think Rachel's retreating. I think Rachel's just being like, you sound ridiculous. Like we've been fighting over this for how long already? And I'm like kind of done. I don't know. This episode, that was the only shining light for me. I do want to get into like, we don't have to get into the Melissa and Teresa, but I do think that Teresa just made herself like such a fool again when she was like, I really want like Gino in the wedding. And then, Jennifer being like, oh, you want all of them in the wedding? And she was like, well, no.
Why did she say that?
Well, no. And then Melissa totally made sense in her confessional when she was like, we're not going to be like your fucking like little puppets at the end of the show. Like, you're not going to like reel us in at the end and use us for fucking like gain with like popularity because you know it was fucked up not to have us on
but
there.
In fairness, I think that Melissa and Joe have used Teresa and her family for popularity for so fucking long.
Okay, but she can't, like, she used them just as much as they used her, and Teresa never wants to admit it. And I truly do not understand the Melissa Gorga hate. I don't get it, because she was given a hand, dealt with it, and Teresa said, this is the hand we're playing, and she's played it along the entire time just as much as Teresa has. Teresa would not be here if it wasn't for where Melissa was.
That is 100% not fucking true. Melissa, Teresa started this fucking show. Teresa didn't need Melissa to come on.
She started the show for two seasons, and then Melissa came on the third season, and it's been the entire storyline for fucking 14 seasons since then, or 12 seasons, has been Melissa.
Yeah, so Melissa should really thank Teresa for a paycheck.
And Teresa should thank Melissa for continuing a storyline that would have never existed, because in season two, all she had was flipping the table, and in season two, we had more Caroline and Dina. And then when Melissa came on and Joe, they gave her a storyline, and it has made her storyline for the entire time that she's been on this show. You can only go to jail so many fucking times and talk about it, okay?
Okay, speaking of jail, can we talk about the moment when they were doing the painting and she's like, please don't paint any bars.
No, that made me sad. That made me sad.
No, but it was really, it was sad, but it was so fucking funny. Like, it was just like, it was like, and everyone's like, no, oh my God. Like, who? Okay. Who do you think would have painted bars had she not said that?
I don't know. The only one that's ever made like a prison thing was Jackie. Did you learn that in jail?
That's the Jackie's like, here's the oatmeal that you were fed in prison. This is right here.
Here's the slop you were fed in prison, you jailbird. Maybe Marge?
I don't think any of them would have done it. Like, to be real. But like, I just think it was funny that Teresa was like, please don't paint any bars on there. Please don't paint any bars. I just thought that was funny.
Meanwhile, on Salt Lake, they're like making fun of Jen Shaw for going to jail left and right. Like, there's no holding back.
No, but it's like, I feel like that's like so different, because it's like, fuck you, you robbed the elderly. But like with Teresa, it's like, damn, your husband like screwed you over and you lost your mom and dad.
You guys just like, you know, they stole money from like the rich already. They ate the rich. They were Robin Hooding it, whatever. They're con artists, just like Dorit and Paul Kemsley, but fuck it.
Allegedly.
If that woman goes down, I go down. That is mother to me, and she always will be. I'm so over Jersey, guys. The season isn't great. The Ireland Chimp was a big fat fucking flop to me. It was just not giving what I thought it was going to give. No, the only highlight of that trip was I really loved Melissa's little two-tone color outfit. And
I liked meeting Paul's mom. I thought that was really cute.
Oh, who cares?
No, I thought it was cute to see like Dolores with that, and then all the women like laughing with them. I thought that was a cute moment.
That Dolores is happy and she's getting that all of that.
Also, is it bad that I had to Google what a hussy was?
A hussy?
You don't know what a hussy is?
It's like an old school term for whore.
Southern term. Yeah. My Nana called people that a lot.
Yeah, I did.
Did your Nana call you that?
I don't know why I said that in past tense. Nana's still alive.
I know. Then I felt bad when I said, did your Nana call you that immediately? Because I was like, oh my God, is she dead?
What if I was like,
oh, she passed away?
Rita's like, what if your Nana died?
And all I went to was the Wendy Williams clip where she's like, my mother picked out this dress for me. She's also died. Oh my God. Do you guys have anything else on Jersey?
Nope.
The men smoked weed.
I don't want to see another men's scene anymore. I think that they've like figured, like they think that we love it. And it's funny, just like, though,
the moment of them trying to fight with each other about their wives and then just being like, I'm so high, dude. I can't even look at you. I don't care if your wife called my wife a rat. I'm stoned.
I don't know. Like, I don't think it was bad. I just think once again, it's just like the same, you know? So like,
rinse,
wait.
Repeat.
Okay. So like, Mo, I want to get your opinion on this, because Reed and I talked about this last week, which was like, obviously, I know that you want to fire, you don't want to fire Melissa. Like, you are Melissa Gorga stan, but I think like, I want to see Teresa on the show without Melissa. And if your theory is right, if she needs Melissa as much as Melissa needs her, you know, and then if it still is like, I don't think we fire both of them in one fell swoop.
No, my own. Okay. So this is my fear right now, because Andy has come out and said that this reunion, he always says it every year, was so explosive. He yelled at Teresa like never before, yada, yada, yada. He said they really, Melissa and Teresa were both first seat. And he was like, they held nothing back. I've never seen it like this, to where they were screaming at each other the whole time. Nothing was off the table. It was all stuff that was not even on the show this season. He was like, it was a lot of new information. They were at it. My fear is that production is going to be like, oh, now really guns are off the table, or guns are on the table, there's no like family, we're saving it, they're done, it's really going to be all out war this time, let's bring them both back, is what I think it's going to be. And that's what I don't see a world where every fan is like, Melissa's gone. I don't think she's leaving, guys. I think that they both saved ass at that reunion, and now they're truly done with each other, and there's no more let's save the family. Now it's going to be let's fight like housewives because I'm fucking done with you.
But also, I don't know if people want to see that anymore.
But I think that Bravo thinks that people want to see that. And I think that they're going to give it to us again in a condensed 14 episodes like they've been doing Jersey for the past few years. And they're like, let's give it to them like this. Let's give them one more chance to see them fighting without Let's Save the Family. I think that that's what we're going to get this season. But if I were to say anything, I want them both off my show. I like Melissa Gorga. I like Teresa, but fired. Both get the fired. Kelly Bensimone, fired. Alex
Jill McCord, Zalen,
fired. I want them both fired. I want Jackie to stay as a friend of. I want Jen Fester to get a fucking tomato because so Jack or Zach over here can finally ejaculate for once.
Shut up.
In his goddamn life. And then I want them to bring in another two women. That would be my dream cast. And let's center the show around Marge can stay, Dolores can stay, Jennifer stays, the other Jennifer gets an orange or a fucking tomato, and Danielle and Rachel, let's bring in fucking Rachel's sister-in-law. Let's bring in someone that they know so they can fight more with close people.
I feel like I repeat myself every week, but this is our first time with all three of us, so I'll say it again. My recommendation for what they should do with Jersey has not changed. I think next season you maybe demote. Here's what I'm thinking. You demote Melissa to friend of. Maybe you give Teresa, maybe Teresa leaves halfway into the season. Like it's like a goodbye.
Like she gets to like, or Tinsley.
She gets to kind of like pass the torch. And maybe then like a spinoff comes out and it's like a Giudice family show. Like Maddie always says, everyone wants to watch that. And because everyone likes it.
You guys can't see, but Reed just rolled the eyes into the back of his head.
No, I didn't. That wasn't even on purpose.
Well, you did it.
You did.
It sounds like people love their family and they would watch it. So then that kind of appeases Teresa so she doesn't feel burned, right? It still keeps Melissa somewhat involved without making it too much about her. I think you bring on Danielle Cabral's sister-in-law. I know you guys disagree with me, but just like when they reboot a movie, like Scream 5 and 6, really are a hit on Scream 1 and 2. They mirror it a little bit. It's kind of fun to see like the callbacks, the references. It doesn't have to go 14 seasons of Danielle Cabral and her sister-in-law fighting the way Teresa and Melissa have. Maybe it goes the opposite direction and they actually reconcile on the show. That would be quite beautiful. But almost like a callback. Like, it's like, this is a new era, but it's once again a sister-in-law like dynamic. I just think that like that would be a way to kind of like carry the show into maybe the sister-in-law comes in halfway in after Teresa says goodbye. It's like Teresa says bye on episode 7 or 8 and then like on episode 9, sort of like how when housewives come in halfway through a season, right? Like suddenly we got this new housewife appearing in the cast photos and it's Danielle Cabral's sister-in-law. Like that would just be
like so America's Next Top Model, you have Teresa fade and then that one.
Well,
come
it's
in.
Always so interesting when they do bring a housewife in halfway. Like I'm watching season 3 of Roni, like I'm almost finished with it, and like they bring in Sonya like halfway through and then she gets a tagline and everything. Like
on Beverly Hills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Catherine on Beverly Hills. Who else is coming halfway through?
I feel like on Atlanta, something's happened like that where someone came in.
Yeah, Kim Zolciak left halfway through. Tinsley left halfway through. I can't really think of any. I mean, I'm sure you guys will DM us and tell us a bunch of times who's come in halfway through, but I can't really think of like very many others.
But do you guys like see where I'm going with my
vision? I see where you're going. Reed, I love how you foam at the mouth at like Marvel fan theories. You're like such a nerd.
No, but he's doing Scream and I love and I respect that.
Only because I just watched Scream 6 last night. And
it's so good.
What did you think?
It's literally like, it's like a callback to Scream 2, just the way that Scream 5 was a callback to Scream 1.
Yeah, with the university of it all. I thought Scream 6 was fucking fantastic.
It's in my top 3.
Oh, it's in my top 3.
Oh god, it was so good, you guys.
I know I'm in like one of the less, but like obviously Scream 4 was just so camp.
Scream 4 is like my second favorite, yeah. Yeah, do we have the same top three?
I think my top three is going to be, I don't know, mine is 1, 4, and 6.
Yeah, that's mine.
I don't know what order they're in because it can change by the mood, but I think it has to be 1, 4, and 6 in that order.
Yeah, that's my top three.
And I think that's just called taste. And I mean, I loved the callback. I loved Kirby in this movie, even though that wig, mama, that wig was low down and dirty, honey.
It was the same wig as Margaret Joseph's wig that was hanging on that mirror in that one shot.
That was a dirty ass wig. And I'm sorry they did Hayden Panettiere like that, but I did love this movie. I loved the sister in it. I think that she just was a shitty loser in Scream 5 and then came back and
really ate.
She served cunt. And then I love Jenna Ortega. Like I just thought it was a really good fucking cast. I thought that the kills were fucking They should have been more kills. Like, how the fuck y'all made it out of all those kills alive? It's my only question. They
turned into a full-blown Scream 6 reveal.
We're going to give it to you months late.
I do want to say, back to Reed's point,
I want to just end with Gail being iconic.
Oh my goodness, here she goes. She's starting. Anyways, I do want to say that, Reed, I agree with, like, what you're saying, but they have to do it right. Like, it can't be just, like, a sloppy, like, cheap version of the Teresa Giudice, Melissa Gorga drama where it's just, like, another family feud. It has to be, like, there has to be more to this family feud than an Instagram unfollow. Like, it has to be deep. Like, I'm talking, like, feud, like, needs to... we need to get some juice out of this fucking tomato here. You know what I'm saying? This. Like,
picture it. Sicily. 19, whatever she says.
Oh my God!
Picture it. New Jersey, 2023. What if they... Okay, so I know I said bring her in halfway after Teresa gets to say goodbye, and I still like that idea, but what would be a little bit more iconic is if she came in right away, and if just like season 4 of Jersey, it opened up... Or was it season 3? Opened up with a christening? Yeah.
Reed, all right, guys. Like, we're done with our New Jersey recap at this point.
And like Danielle Cabral, sister-in-law. It would be, I would be foaming. Okay, yeah.
You didn't come to Valentina's communion. What the fuck is wrong with you? You didn't come to Valentina. Literally. It was her first fucking communion. And she's like, your sister is fucking unhinged. She's so fucking, her little kids that like swear all that. I would never let my kids swear like that. And it's just like, I see what you're putting down, Reed. I see the picture. I see the vision.
It'd be magical.
You know, Jen Fessler, I feel like Jen Fessler is holding on to other things. Like, I feel like I just...
This guy, the UN fucking Jen Fessler.
I love that bitch.
You want to fuck her like Tony Soprano?
Yeah,
her.
I do. No, that was fucking iconic when she was like, I fucked James Gandolfini. Like, that is so fucking iconic to me. That's amazing. It's amazing. Anyways, I think that's the wrap of our Jersey segment. But yeah, so let's get into a very new segment here, which we are calling Defend That Housewife. Order in the courtroom, hunties. We are going to be defending some housewives that you guys have deemed guilty as being a bad housewife. And we are going to prove why this housewife is a good housewife, or at least a good housewife. But I think I want to say that they're a great housewife in my eyes. So... who wants to go first in this little courtroom defense?
Okay, first of all, before we start, do you guys listen to the very fun and popular podcast Las Culturistas?
Of course I listen to Las Culturistas.
I know what you speak of.
You're the one who got me into
it. Matt Rogers, like, baby.
They're so funny. Yeah, okay, so...
I would tear that ass up.
Okay, so we don't have to go this route, and this is, like, fully... Listeners are going to hear all of this. This is, like, you guys are seeing the behind-the-scenes magic. We don't have to do it this way, but just a proposal. They do I Don't Think So, Honey at the end of every
episode. I love their I Don't Think So, Honey.
And they only have 60 seconds to do it, which we could always go longer. But like, it's so funny when you hear when Matt Rogers is rambling and you hear Bowen just chime in 30 seconds, 15 seconds, 5 seconds.
Let's do stopwatches.
So it'd be kind of fun if we wanted to go a little speed round, but I also don't want to limit your... I know that out of all of us, like, Zach has come with a briefcase to defend this couch.
I have come with, like, a file, and I'm just, like, ready, like, hot off the press to defend this woman.
You think you can do it in 2 minutes?
Yeah, for sure. Let's do this one, let's do it no time constraint, like, but I think but still try to do it as rapid fire as you can. But like,
would it still be funny though if like, and by the way, like listeners, I hope you're loving this little behind the scenes. Would it be funny though if like you heard me just kind of faintly be like 1 minute, like not counting you down, but counting up. So like when you get to minute three, I'm like 3 minutes.
Okay. Minutes. If you want to set, okay. A timer and just like be on my ass, Reed, go for it.
I think it'll be funny. I think it would be funny. And then you do it back to me too. Okay, cool. Listen, you're watching us develop a segment in real time. I'm excited.
Okay. So. All right, I guess I'll kick this off here.
So, Zach, you were here to defend that housewife. Your case starts now.
I am here to defend someone that I have recently turned in my stand card due to a rewatch. And you know what? Sometimes a rewatch will open a new lens, the rose-colored glasses come off, whatever it may be, and you realize that like maybe the hatred you had for a certain housewife wasn't justified. I'm here to defend Miss Kelly Killoran Ben-Simone.
I've created a great life, and I love living it. She's been on my eyelashes, in my phone, in my face.
But did she call you a hoe bag?
Cook.
It's hard.
Cook.
I don't know how I find
not a chef,
the time.
Cook.
Define a chef and define a cook. I just want you to define it.
No, chef is someone that works at a restaurant.
No, this chef's at the back right here serving our food. They don't work in a restaurant. This isn't a restaurant.
Yeah, but she's a hired chef. She's like, she's a you know, renowned hired
and
chef.
So I've been hired to be a chef.
I have no idea. I don't know anyone that...
Then don't say it if you don't know.
Okay.
She doesn't work at a restaurant, and she's not an executive chef. I mean, just because you're catering people's parties is not a chef make.
Okay, that woman is a fucking phenomenal housewife. And you know what? She was right in a lot of the situations back in the early days of Roni. And the only reason we probably deemed her wrong is because we loved Bethany. But since the Bethany rose-colored glasses are off and we can see her for what she truly is, which is a fucking narcissist and a terror, okay, now I can watch Roni and I'm like, wait, Kelly was like so fucking right. I think that Kelly's like... you're here and I'm here situation was just trying to like pull her back down to earth. I don't think it was like a necessarily like Kelly's a narcissist and she thinks she's like this phenomenal, amazing, like human being. I think it was kind of like Bethany, like, let me remind you that you're a fucking a narcissist too. You're fucking terror. You're not above everyone like you think you are. Okay. And especially in fucking season 3, Bethany was like a fucking nightmare. So was Jill. Let me throw that out there as a Jill stan. I can see why like producers were like, I'm done with her. Kelly's introduction, she's fabulous. She's a model. She was married to a famous photographer. She's got everything in the makings of a great housewife. She brings around these hot men, hot Argentinian men. She is just like living her best life, but she's not sleeping with any of them. She's literally just like hanging them around, using them as fucking accessories. Okay. The Bethany feud, iconic. And she was right with a lot of things, but her mental breakdown made her look like kind of crazy on Scary Island, and watching Scary Island, you kind of feel really bad for her because she, like, it's a clear mental break. But you know what? Before that, leading up to it, she was all alone and she was trying to say, like, all the girls were trying to gossip about her friend Jill, and she's like, I don't like to gossip. I don't like this. This is a, you know what? And any basic bitch mom from like fucking the Midwest who like wants to see the nice housewives would have been on Kelly's fucking side, and they would have said, oh, she's nice. She's not, she's a nice girl. She doesn't want to gossip. I love this woman. Moments of clarity. She's just great. Kelly was not a wallflower. She jumped into every fucking feud. She had crazy opinions. She had right opinions. She was fun. She was hot. She was cunty. She was a slay. And you know what? And that is what I am going to define Kelly Cloran Ben-Simone. And I want to run those streets of New York City with her. And I think that she is a phenomenal fucking great housewife. And that is my case.
2.5 minutes. Case closed.
What's the verdict, Reed? What's the verdict? Wait, did I change anybody's mind? What's the verdict?
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you now. I think in retrospect, looking back on it, we all hated Kelly in that moment. But like, no, I agree. I think she's an icon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the verdict is...
Court dismissed! Bring in the dancing lobsters!
She's a great housewife.
Honestly, great housewife. Absolutely loved her. Yes, crazy. Yes, unhinged. But honestly, bring out the dancing lobsters. Case closed.
All right, so our next case is going to, do we want to do Reed or Mo?
Reed, you want to go?
Yes, I can go. All
okay,
right.
Reed's going to go, guys. Look,
do we have the timer?
I'll do the timer.
Okay. All right, Reed.
I'm not as prepared as Zach either, but we're going to make it work.
Reed, You are approaching the stand.
60 seconds on the clock.
And so you are going to, your time, reset it, bitch.
How do I reset it?
Girl.
Yeah, restart me. You got to
not a timer. Do a stopwatch.
Oh.
Okay. Your time starts now.
Okay. I am here today in court. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, and they thems of the courtroom. I am here to defend the season 4 Beverly Hills legend, Carlton Gebbia.
In my world, money doesn't talk. It swears.
Nipple. That was Lisa's joke.
I'm sorry, but when they
talk, let me talk for one second.
No, don't you dare command me. You don't command me.
Okay. Ooh. So I'm going to start with this. I actually kind of hate Carlton, but I for the spirit of this exercise, I was like, who's a housewife that's just so easy to hate, but we should really re-examine her? Very similar to Kelly Ben-Simone. And I would say Carlton needs to be re-examined. Okay, here are my points. Beverly Hills.
Seconds.
Yes. Season 4 was the dark era. That was right before Rinna came in and saved everything with the Munchausens of it all. I understand that we all hated Carlton and Joyce. They didn't really fit Beverly Hills. However, It is a sin to group Carlton in with Joyce when we talk about how terrible these two housewives were. Joyce was truly, truly terrible. Should never be on my TV ever again. Carlton, however, I could see her coming back on my television screen. She was a witch. Let's start there, okay? Remember when she told us, when I was younger, I practiced
one minute.
A dark side of Wicca. Oh, with her little British accent, which I can't do. When I was younger, I practiced a dark side of Wicca. Then I started paying a price when I got older because none of that's for free. Like, it was so weird. This is Beverly Hills. They are getting their boobs done. They are getting diamonds. They are popping Xanax. What they are not doing is playing with Ouija boards. But Carlton was over here in her little mansion that looked like it was straight out of an Ed Hardy museum in 2003. And she's over here having the ladies over for dinner, talking about curses.
A minute and 30 seconds.
Yes. Remember when she said, don't you dare command me. Don't you dare fucking go there. That was truly when she was upset with Kyle for killing the bee, because all life in Wiccan culture is like sacred. Or remember when her and Joyce got in a fight and she said to Joyce, when you go home tonight, watch what happens. And then Joyce, who is this God-fearing Christian woman, goes home. And then the next confessional cuts and says that her husband got sick, and it's unexplained how she got sick. And they're convinced.
2 minutes.
They're convinced that Carlton Gevia cursed her. Literally, people think that's why Carlton was not asked back, because she put a curse on Joyce's husband. I truly, no one, like Kyle, we all love when Kyle has to fight someone like Camille or somebody else. This was Kyle's nemesis. It was so funny. And that, ladies, gentlemen, they, thems of the court, is my defense of Carlton Gevia.
Time. You went 2 minutes and 25 seconds.
Can I approach the stand with something to help this lawyer really quick? I just want to point... I just want to point out that I agree with everything that Reed Chandler just brought to the stand. But I do want to say, we're forgetting that Carlton hexed Kyle Richards' computer and put words on it.
A piece of information.
Put words on it that like said Wraith.
Literally.
And like famine and shit like that. That is so fucking camp and so funny.
I'm sorry, but like, you can't make shit like that up. That you forgot a vital piece of information, but Carlton, that is the most iconic.
She was like the fourth horseman of the apocalypse.
Or the fact that she was like tonguing Brandy down any chance that she got.
There's a lot. I read. All right. The verdict is in. Jury, come to the stand. Carlton Gebbia is not guilty of being a bad housewife. She has indeed proved innocent. She is a great housewife.
Court dismissed. Bring in the dancing lobsters.
Perfect. Okay. It's my turn.
Come to the stand.
Okay, someone start the time.
All right, I got the time ready. And 3, 2, 1, your time starts now.
It should be as no shock to anybody who's ever listened to this podcast that my housewife that I'm going to defend is Leah McSweeney.
I'm sex positive and BS negative.
Oh my God.
She may have a split personality. I've seen it on TV.
They used to say about me that I was the gangster with the blonde hair and blue eye. This girl is like, she's another level. It's like 1 minute she's like, hey, how you doing? Then she's like, rah!
Put the chairs down now. We can put the chair down now.
My kind of girl.
Leah came on the scene season fucking 12 of Roni, and I think she gets a bad rap because of season 13 and the COVID season and all. But let's remind you, season 12, she came on. She was supposed to be brought on by Bethany. Bethany quit. So she was supposed to be then brought on by Tinsley, which they were not fucking friends at all. They made an iconic friendship, and then Tinsley left that mid-season and left her alone with these old fucking biddies who she would never speak to on the street in a million fucking years. Leah brought down a downtown energy that has not been seen since Carol Radziwill. She had that iconic tiki torch moment in her first season, the vibrator and the chicken, the fucking yelling at Sonia, you're not gonna get the yacht, all of that iconic. And then we had season 13 come in, where her grandmother died. She tried to have this fucking iconic moment in the Hamptons. It was COVID, she couldn't leave, whatever. She then came for Heather Halamama Thompson, and that was just like, ooh, because Heather wasn't giving her the ooh that she wanted. And then nobody was fucking fighting with her the rest of that season.
1 minute.
The rest of that season, she tried to fight as hard as she could, but there was nothing going on. You had Ramona, who was checked out, Luann, who was just trying to hawk some cheap fucking fake rosé, and then you had Sonia, who was 3 sheets to the wind all the time, but it wasn't fun anymore because we watched her for fucking 12 seasons do this, and we were all over it. And then you had Brashan, who was like interesting, but her and Leah never made a connection. And then you had Ebony, who made the most connection with Leah, but was trying to be on a totally different show. It was a charge time, and season 13 did not fail because of Leah McSweeney. Season 13 failed because of the OGs didn't want to do anything, and Ebony came on and had a totally different show. And then you have then you have Ultimate Girlship, where she came in. Okay, yeah, was she sick most of the time? But she did have iconic moments in that. She ate Alexia up. Porsha by Leah by. She did not give Porsha the time of day. And I will say that when Porsha tried to have a fucking TV moment with her, she was not giving it to her. And that's just as iconic as fighting with her. Because Porsha was like, oh, Leah wants to have a TV moment with the icon that is Porsha Williams. And Leah was like, no, I actually just don't want to fucking give you any light. And you want to have a TV moment by using me. And her relationship with Candace was so iconic. We ended the season with the bottle passing of the Casa Azul between her and Candace. And that was that was such a fucking moment. And I do love when she ate Alexia up and was like, listen, the clothes off your back is bought by fucking people who have overdosed on cocaine. You're no better than Whitney, who's been on that fucking stripper pole. Leah McSweeney is a great housewife. And I think if she comes back for another Roni legacy, we could see her with people that she knows and people that she has relationships with. And even in that like last episode of Ultimate Girlship, we saw the Leah that we knew and that we loved. And that is all I have to say. Goodbye.
All right, you clocked in at 2:24, and that was like a rapid fire of a rant. Like, man, God.
Okay, approach the stand. What's our ruling?
I think that Leah is, in fact, at least a good housewife.
Thanks.
Not guilty.
Not guilty of being a bad
one. Dismissed. Bring in the dancing lobsters.
God, I've never talked faster in my life.
Man, you like look like you had like a gun up to you. Like prove to us right now why Leah is a good housewife. And you know what? I hope you defended her pretty well. Wait, and
that
you
was
came
so
with facts.
Fun. You guys, we need to do that more.
We do need to do that more often. That reminded me of, do you guys remember that season of Grey's Anatomy with the shooting when the guy went to go shoot April Kepner like, my name is April Kepner. I'm from Ohio. My mom is this. My nana's back home.
I still have fucking trauma from that episode. I like
trauma.
I ended up shaking. Okay. But in all fairness, that was a really fun segment. I think if you guys enjoyed it, please send us a DM of who you want us to defend. And you know what? Even if I don't agree with you, I will find the receipts on why I'm going to defend that housewife.
I already have my second.
So yeah, let us know.
It actually would be funny. It'd be even funnier if we didn't actually like them and we had to find out.
We should do the opposite. We should do people who think that are great housewives, but they
and
aren't.
Why they're not a good housewife.
Yeah, that's our next.
Yeah,
one.
We could expand this whole. Okay, I
you
think
guys are
for
seeing
today,
all behind the scenes. This is our group text day today. Honestly,
I think all rise. Court closed.
Court closed. All right. Well, that is the end of our courtroom session of Defend That Housewife. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening to this brand new episode of It's About Bravo. This was so much fun. The Tres Amigas all together. The energy was lit. It was on fire. I can't wait for the day that we are all in the same fucking room. So, Reed, thanks for joining us from Chicago. Mo, I'm glad that I was able to trek the subway to get to you as a new kind of like New Jersey, New Yorker, tri-state area girl. But anyways, thank you guys so much for listening. You guys know where to follow us at @about_Bravo on TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter. Make sure that you DM us. DM us some housewives that you guys want us to defend and why you think that they're a great housewife and what receipts we need in order to defend that housewife. And also, make sure you like, subscribe, follow us, leave us a review, and we will be back with you next time. Bye.
Bye.